Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
In the movie The Edge of Tomorrow, Major Bill Cage, Tom Cruise, is not the fighting type. He may look like a hero, but he is not one. He is a soldier, but he's one who just sits behind a desk. He's never seen fighting or a battle a single day of his life. What he does in his job is he just talks about war. He creates promotional videos and press releases for the military. So his country, our country, is now at war against aliens who seem like they are unbeatable. In fact, they have now conquered almost all of Europe. And a general calls in Major Bill Cage and asks him to take his video team to the front lines of the battle to get video of something encouraging for the Americans to see. Just go get us some encouraging scenes of the battle. Bill Cage refuses. He doesn't do battle. He doesn't do war. He doesn't go to battle fronts. He doesn't fight. Well, the general doesn't take kindly to that, and he orders Bill Cage to. Bill Cage refuses and actually threatens the general. The general doesn't like that at all, and so he strips Bill Cage of his title, and instead of sending him to the battle as a videographer to send a report, he actually sends him to the front lines to do battle with a unit that's stationed at Heathrow Airport in London. Now, Bill Cage is just another grunt, ready to do battle, strapped into a newfangled exoskeleton weapon, which he has never been trained in, has no idea how to use, and he's going into battle. In other words, he's a dead man. And that is exactly what happens. He gets dropped into battle, and 5 minutes later, he's dead. But just before he dies, he manages to somehow take off the safety on his gun by mistake and start shooting. And he just so happens to kill one of the bigger aliens who starts gushing blood out all over Bill Cage into his mouth. And then they just lay there and they die together. Bill Cage is dead. And then he's alive. Somehow he's alive again. And very oddly, it's exactly the same day. It's a day when he was put into that unit at Heathrow Airport, the same day that he eventually dies in, and he realizes he is living the exact same day again. The only difference is Cage can live this version of this day differently if he chooses. He now has the experience of the day he's already lived of this version of this day. And so he now goes into battle, but he knows how to switch off the safety. And he does so. And this time, because he has a little more experience, he's a little bit better equipped to fight. He lasts 6 minutes and dies. And then he's alive again. He wakes up and it's the same day again, except for he's a little bit more knowledgeable and has a little bit more experience. He's a little bit better equipped to fight, and so he lives a few more minutes. And this happens over and over and over. It's like Groundhog Day with an alien military invasion. It happens 5 times, 10 times, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Each day is a new day. But each day is the same day. Each day he knows more, he has more experience, and he knows what to expect in battle. So he's better equipped to fight, and he experiences a little more success every single day. And in the process of living this same day over and over and over again, Major Cage meets Rita Vertosky, who is the only soldier who's led a successful surge against the attacking aliens. And Cage quickly realizes that they need to team together. And so what he does starting then is each day he quickly connects with her, spends some time with her, and then they live that day together. They go into battle together, and what happens day after day of doing that, Major Cage knows more and more about who she is as a person, and he realizes that he's actually falling in love with her. Well, in case you haven't seen it, I'll just stop there. I won't tell you any more. But it's a cool movie. It's a good story, and you should check it out. But personally, I'm more interested in another story, in your story. Because your story is your life, and your life is pretty important. And the problem is that some of us are not living the lives that we want to live. We're not. It may be in general, or it may just be a specific part of your life, and you know it. Well, like, I'm not insulting you when I say this. You know it. You look at your life, and you're like, yeah, there's an area of my life where it's not what I want it to be. And so last week, if you were here, we talked about making the decision to live, about you and me making the decision to live. The truth is, man, it is so easy to give up. Right? It's so easy to give up, if not on our entire lives, at least on like an area of our lives. Many of us are like Major Bill Cage in the movie. We've never seen fighting a day of our lives. We're just not the fighting type. We've never really done battle for anything or in anything. And maybe we realize, if I'm going to move from where I'm at to where I want to go, if I'm going to really find life in this area of my life, then it's going to be a battle. It would be a battle. And it may be. It may be difficult. But last week, you know, many of us decided that we are not going to give up. And we rang this bell signifying my life is too important for me to give up on it. And so I'm going to go from where I'm at to where I need to go, from here to there. And again, this may be generally with your whole life. You may look at your life and you may realize, man, I just have this sense that I feel lost, or I feel apathetic, or I just feel like I've lost control. Maybe you just feel like your whole life is kind of a mess. Or it might not be that. It may be that your life is pretty good, but your marriage isn't. And so maybe that's your area where you go, look, that's the area that needs some help. Or for you, it might be your kids. Maybe they're not where you hope they would be. Or maybe your parenting isn't what you want it to be. Or it might be your job, your career. You know, you look at it and you're like, man, I am not where I wanted to be in life with my career. It may be an addiction. It's kind of like hard for you to admit, but you're making a decision. I want to get past my addiction. Or for you, it might be your spiritual life. You know, maybe like everything else in your life is fine, but you have this strange sense of there being something missing, this emptiness inside of you, and you're not sure exactly what it is, but you've started to wonder if maybe what you're missing is a spiritual dimension of life. Maybe there's something to this God thing, and maybe what you really need is a relationship with God, and where you start to have like a spiritual vitality from a relationship with God that gives you a sense of joy and peace and purpose. So last week, as we explored the movie Gravity, and if you missed our service last week, you can watch it or listen to it online. But last week, we made the decision to live. The decision to move from where we are to where we want to be. And we need to make that decision. And here's the deal. We make that decision all at once. Okay, that decision happens in a moment. You finally get to a place where you decide, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I want to live. I choose life. You make that decision all at once, but then the journey happens incrementally. Okay, you make the decision, I'm going to go from here to there all at once, but the journey from here to there happens one step at a time. Step after step after step after step. And we actually see this in the Bible. So like if you were here last week, we met a guy named Paul who discovered that for him to get from here to there, that he was going to have to start focusing and relying more on God instead of himself and his own accomplishments. And so Paul writes that he makes this decision, man, my life has been about me and what I could achieve, but I want to live a life where I rely on God and my identity and my sense of accomplishment is in him, not in myself. So he made that decision all at once, okay? And we saw him make that decision in a book of the Bible called Philippians. It's a letter he wrote to some people who lived in a place called Philippi. But I want you to see what he writes next. So we looked at a passage last week. I'm going to look at the next few verses. And we're going to put those verses on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. All the verses will be on the screen today. And if you don't own one, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. The Velcro Bars are a connecting place. You can ask questions, meet somebody back there. But we also give out Bibles back there. So Philippians chapter 3, he says, I have made a decision. I want to turn my life over to God. I want to know him. I want to stop relying on me. And then he writes this. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he made the decision all at once, like in an instant. But here he's saying, listen, the journey doesn't happen all at once. I'm still not where I want to be yet, but I am in process. Right? I'm in process. I'm getting there step by step. So last week I asked you, and I'll get you thinking about it again today, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Like, maybe you need to get to a new place in your marriage, maybe with your personal finances. Maybe that's a mess and you need to figure that out. Maybe for you it's your career. Maybe it is leaving behind an addiction. Where do you want to go? All right, so here's the question this week. What are the steps you need to take to get there? Okay. What are the steps that you need to take to get there? And I want to teach you what I believe is one of, if not the key principle in us getting from here to there. And this principle is so obvious in so many areas of life. But what's interesting is that most people miss it when it comes to the most important areas of life. It's a really weird thing. And it's the principle of training instead of trying. It's the principle of training instead of trying. When it comes to the most important areas of life, if you talk to people, what you'll realize is that they think that they're going to get where they want to go through trying. We say things like this all the time. We say things like, man, if I just try harder, if I could just get over my, you know, my apathy and really put my heart in it, if I could just want it more. But that is not how you grow. That is not how people grow ever. Okay? It's not by trying, it's by training. Now, this principle is very obvious to us in many areas of life. Okay? So for instance, school. Let's say you start taking a class. Okay? It's a class you have no knowledge about. You've never learned anything about this before. And you want to get an A on the final exam. Okay? That's where you want to go. You want to go from where you are, I don't know anything about this subject, to the place I want to go is I want to get an A when I take the final exam. How do you get there? It's not by trying hard when you take the test, right? Like if you showed up at the final exam and you kind of lean into the person sitting next to you before the exam is passed out and you say, man, I really want an A. And the guy says, hey, I don't think I've seen you before. Have you come to this class? And you go, nope. And he goes, huh, did you get the textbook? Did you read the textbook? And you go, nuh-uh. He goes, have you studied at all? Nah, you said you want to get an A on the test. How are you going to get an A on this test? And you say, I'm going to try really hard. And he's like, really? And so you take the test and like you read the question and you're like, C! You know, you're like, you try so hard to get those answers right. Is that going to get you an A? No, it is not, right? You're not going to get an A at all. Why? Because you tried really hard, but you didn't train. Right? How would you get an A? Well, you would get an A by training. Here's how I would define training. Okay, we'll just go with this definition today. We'll put it on the screen. Training is doing what I can do today so I can do tomorrow what I can't do today. I'll say it again. Training is doing what I can do today so I can do tomorrow what I can't do today. Right? Does that make sense? So the new semester of school starts, and what I cannot do today is get an A on the final exam. I don't know the material, right? I can't. Why? Because I don't know the stuff. But what can I do today? I can go to class today. I can read a chapter of my textbook today. I can take notes today. Before I go to bed, I could read my little study cards that I made, right? And I can go to sleep. Now, will that get me an A? Not yet, it won't. But what I can do is tomorrow, I can go to class again. I can read the next chapter of the book. I can review my notes from the day before, right? And then the next day, I can go to the next class. I can read the next chapter. I can review my notes from the 2 days before. Kind of like Major Bill Cage doing the same thing over and over and over. Each time he has a little more knowledge, he has a little more experience. And so if you watch the movie, what you see is each time he gets better. He's getting trained in being a fighter, which he has never done before. And he goes from being like dead in 5 minutes to being an absolute alien killing machine by the end of the movie. Why? Because he kept doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Just each time a little bit better, right? Very similar with school. What happens is step by step by step, by training, by doing today what I can do today, so I can do tomorrow what I can't do today, I will get to a place where I can get where I want to be, which is getting an A on my final exam. And you all hear that and you think, duh. Right? Like, really? Like, you had to take 5 minutes to explain? We know that. Like, that's basic, right? Okay, all right, good. So we get that. We get that the principle of training, not trying, works with school, okay? Let's talk about another area of life. What about, like, physical fitness, okay? Let's say that you decide, you have a goal. You decide in a moment, I want to run a marathon. I want to run a marathon. That's where you want to be, right? But that is not where you are today. Where you are today is you are 35 pounds overweight. You have not run at all since you got timed in the mile in eighth grade. That was the last time you ran, okay? You haven't exercised in years. And last night for dinner, you had Twinkies. And for dessert, you had more Twinkies. You just ate lots of Twinkies, okay? But you decide, you made a decision, I want to run a marathon, okay? So you sign up for it. Finally, the day of the marathon happens, and you show up, and you are standing there before they shoot that gun off, and you're going to go. And you say to the person next to you, hey, and the person says, hey, and the person next to you says, how long have you been training? And you say, I haven't. In fact, I haven't run since eighth grade. The person next to you says, oh, hey, what's that on your shirt? You say, it's pancake syrup. This morning I was eating pancake double stack and bacon. I got some pancake syrup on me in there. And the person says, oh, so you're feeling good about completing the marathon? And you say, oh, yeah. And they say, how come? And you say, I'm going to try really hard. Okay? The person's like, did you say you're going to try really hard? You go, exactly. Oh, hey, while we're talking, could you see if my shoelaces are tied? I can't see over them, you know, to them over my stomach. Could you check for me? Marathon starts. You try really, I mean, you, everything in you, you start running as hard, you try as hard as you can. You gonna be able to run a marathon? No. What's gonna happen is you're gonna run about a mile, and then you're gonna be throwing up on the side of the road, crying for your mommy. Why? Because you tried really hard, and you didn't train. Right? You do not accomplish your goal. You do not run a marathon by trying hard. It's only by training. So what you should have done is enter into a life of training. Right? You're going to do what you can do today so that tomorrow you can do what you can't do today. So what can you do today? You can run a mile. That's all you can do. Okay, so you run your mile, right? And the next day, what do? You run a mile again. The next day, you run a mile again. The next day, you realize, I can now run a mile and a quarter. So you do that. That's what you can do today, right? The next day you do that again. And pretty soon you can run 2 miles and you keep doing that until one day you go, I can run 3 miles. And you keep. And at the same time, you've given up your all Twinkie diet, right? And you've switched your breakfast plan from pancakes and bacon to egg whites and turkey bacon, right? You're like turkey bacon guy now. And while you're watching TV, like you're doing sit-ups, you're doing push-ups. And what will happen is that by training, not by trying harder, by training, every day, step by step, you're going to get closer to your goal until one day you will be able to run a marathon. You will be able to do today what you used to not be able to do today. Why? Because you entered into a life of training. You hear all that and you think, duh, right? It's like, duh, of course that's true. Of course you don't run a marathon by trying harder. Of course you have to train. Okay, all right. So we know this is true with education. We know it's true with like physical fitness. But here's the deal. It's true with everything. It's true with everything. And the odd thing is we don't apply it to the most important areas of our lives, even though it's true with everything. It's the funniest thing. So let's do that. Let's apply it to some of the important areas of our life where some of us are like, yeah, I really do want to go from here to there. Okay, so like overcoming an addiction, all right? Or if you want, let's do this to make it a little bit easier on some of us. Let's say overcoming a temptation that always seems to get the best of us. Okay, so we don't need to call it an addiction. If we call it a temptation that always seems to get the best of us, I think we'll all go, okay, I've got that, right? I do that. So there's probably something in your life that you go, I don't want to keep doing that, but I keep doing that, right? Like, I don't want to keep overeating, but I do. I don't want to keep overspending, but I do. Or maybe for you, it's alcohol, or it's drugs, or it's gambling, or it's pornography, or it's, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, there's something you're like, I would like my life to not include that anymore, and I just keep doing that. I just can't seem to stop. And maybe what you thought is, man, I could stop if I just tried harder. Or you thought, if I just had more self-discipline, I wouldn't keep doing that. Or you thought, if I just loved God more, or if I had more faith, then I could stop. No. No. So can a person show up for a final exam and get an A because they try hard? No, we've already established that. Could they show up and get an A because they take the test in a really self-disciplined way? No. Could they get an A in a test if they really loved God more and had great faith that they were going to get an A? Nope, that does not get you an A. It doesn't. It doesn't. The way you get an A is by training. How do you overcome an addiction? You overcome an addiction by entering into a life of training, not by trying. Now, it's pretty obvious with school what the training exercises are. Okay, I go to class, I read my book, I take my notes, I study my notes. Those are the training exercises that get me to where I want to go. But what about like with overcoming an addiction? Maybe that's not so obvious. Or maybe it is for some of you, because some of you at some point in your life have gone to an AA meeting or an NA meeting or a GA meeting, and what you learned at that meeting was not to try hard, but to enter into a life of training. And at that meeting, you were given 12 steps, and those were 12 steps that you could do today and do every day, day after day, and you were told, and it's true, those steps would get you where you want to go, right? And so what you can't do today is you can't overcome your addiction. You've discovered that. What you can do today is you can apply these steps, like admitting that I'm powerless over my problem, realizing that there is a higher power who wants to help me with my problem, admitting and making amends for mistakes I'm making, taking a daily personal inventory, connecting to that higher power and receiving his strength. And so you learn, man, there's these 12 steps that you can do today. And so you do them today, and then you can do them tomorrow. You can do them the next day, and one day at a time, you're going to take steps until finally you're at a place where you're like, wow, I feel like I can do my life without my addiction, without my temptation. So this principle actually works with overcoming an addiction, and the reason is because it works with everything. It works with everything. And if you're struggling with an addiction, or if you're struggling with a temptation that always gets the best of you, and you don't want to keep doing this, but you keep doing this, the obvious question is, are you doing those 12 steps? You know, you've already proven to yourself, I can't seem to stop doing that, but there are 12 things you could do today. You can do those. Are you doing those? Right? Because that's how you're going to get from where you are to where you want to be. So it turns out, trying hard doesn't help you overcome an addiction. Training does. So let's apply this to another area of life. What about marriage? Okay, what about marriage? So let's say that you're married and your marriage is not what you want it to be. How do you go from the marriage you have to the marriage you want? When you talk to married couples who are struggling, they say things like, I know, we just need to get along. You know, if we could just get along better, and we need to love each other like we did when we first were dating. And it's all about, let's grit our teeth and clench our fists and try harder. Trying harder doesn't help in marriage. It doesn't. The way you get from where you are to where you want to be is by training. So how would you train to have a better marriage? Well, typically the things that helped you fall in love in the first place are the things that help you to fall back in love or to maintain love in your marriage. So my guess is if we look back at your relationship when you first met and you first started dating and you first started realizing we're falling in love, that you would say, oh, look what we did. We talked on the phone a lot. Like, we would talk and talk and talk every day. And you would ask how his day was. Like, every day, you'd say, how was your day today? And you would buy her flowers. And you would tell him that he looked great. And you would hold her hand when you walked through the mall. And I bet you went out on lots of dates. Like, you went to dinner, you went to movies, anything. It was an excuse to be together. Now, you've been married for a while. It's been going for a while. And you feel like you fight more than you get along. You feel like there's like this distance between you. You're not, there's no passion. There's no love. You're just more like roommates living in the same house. Okay. Question, what are you not doing now? Here's my guess. Talking for a long time every day. Asking him how his day was. Bringing her flowers. Telling him he looks great. Holding her hand as you walk through the mall, going out to dinner and movies and whatever kind of excuse you can make to go on a date. And you're surprised that things have changed and aren't the way they used to be. Really, you're surprised by that. Okay, so how do you go from where you are to where you want to be? Not by trying hard. Well, let me ask you a question. Like, when you first met, did you fall in love because you tried hard to fall in love? Did you go, I'm going to love that person? You know, I just met him, but that's the person. I swear, you didn't try hard to love that person. There was nothing about trying involved, right? What did you do? You trained to fall in love. You didn't look at it that way, but you started doing things together. And what you were doing is you were just connecting every day. And you're like, oh, well, when I look back, it's really, we just kind of entered into a program of training ourselves to be in love with each other by spending time together and complimenting each other and doing all kinds of things that made us have these ooey gooey feelings for each other, right? And so what can't you do today? You can't have a great marriage today. You're convinced of that. It's like, oh no, I know. We've tried. We've tried really hard. We can't have a great marriage. Okay? What could you do today? You could ask him how his day was. You could buy her flowers, even if you don't feel like it. You could buy her flowers. You could go out on a date today. Even if you don't want to go out on a date, you could go out on a date. And today, you're not going to be very good at it. But then you do it again tomorrow, and you'll be a little bit better. You go out tomorrow and again the next day, and it's going to be a little bit more comfortable than it was, a little less awkward. And you go out the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and one day you're going to go, oh man, we have a great marriage. Huh, it's like it used to be. Huh. See, what you can do is you can do today what you can't do tomorrow. No, I said that wrong, didn't you? You can do today to get you to the place tomorrow where you can do tomorrow. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So, last area, it's like a riddle. Last area we're going to talk about is, let's talk about like going from where you are to where you want to be spiritually. And it turns out, same thing. It's true in everything. So, and by the way, this is something the Bible actually teaches us. So this isn't like, oh, it's an interesting idea, Vince. This is like right in the Bible. So that same guy, Paul, talks a lot. He writes a lot to people about how to grow spiritually. As you might imagine, he's kind of a pastor type of person trying to help people to grow. So he writes in a book called 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, for physical training, kind of like what we talked about, is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Put these on the screen. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So he's using that same analogy of like running a marathon, but he's talking about spiritual growth, okay? He says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it, runners, do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it, people seeking spiritual growth, to get a crown that will last forever. He's like, man, spiritual growth, your relationship with God, that lasts forever, not like something you'd get for running a marathon. Verse 26, therefore, he says, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Again, he's talking about his spirituality. Spirituality, I said that word. I do not run like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In both passages, he's talking about how do we grow spiritually? How do we get where we want to go spiritually? And in both places, he says, through training. That's how you do it, through training. Both times, he makes a comparison to physical training. He's like, it's the same way as you prepare for a race. You go into a life of training. See, we make the decision all at once, right? That just happens in an instant. In an instant, you make a decision that's like, I want to add a spiritual dimension to my life, or whatever it is. I want to give my life to God. I want to follow Jesus with my life. I want my life to become everything that God wants it to become. Okay, you make that decision all at once, and then you go into a life of training, and incrementally, step by step by step by step, you get to the place that you decided you want to go. It doesn't happen all at once. Now, with physical training, again, it's really obvious. It's like, what do? You run, sit-ups, push-ups, you know, you get off the Twinkies, really obvious. What about with spiritual training? How would you go forward every day? What are the things that you can do today that will help you to do tomorrow what you can't do today? So tomorrow, I want to be at a place where I'm like, I love God with all my heart, and I follow Jesus, and I don't sin so much, and I like have more compassion, and I serve people. But how do I get there? Because I can't get there today. But what can I do today? Here's what it is. It's anything that connects you to God. Anything that allows God's power to kind of come into play in your life. Anything that gives you practice in living out the way of Jesus, which is living out the way of love. That's what it is. So for instance, it's reading the Bible and praying. Maybe some of you grew up in church and you were told, you got to read the Bible and you got to pray. And it felt like, okay, it's like this to-do list of, you know, these whatever. No, that's not what it is. They are both training exercises that allow God to speak into your life and allow you to speak to God. Just like two spouses that you grow together. Why? Because we communicated. We talked for like hours on the phone, and there was something about talking that shared our hearts, and we became like bound together. It's the same with God. As you read the Bible and as you pray, it's like me and God are like talking with each other. We become closer and closer and closer. We're connected. And it's serving people for God's sake. You know, when you volunteer and you serve and you find ways to do things for people, it's like something about that that gets God's power at work in your life. It's connecting with other people on a similar faith journey where you can encourage each other and challenge each other. Something about doing that builds you up spiritually, and you feel like, I can do that today, and it gets me closer to a place where I can do what I really want to do. I want to live that life. So here's the deal. Like if you don't read the Bible and pray on a consistent basis, you're like, yeah, that's not a part of my life. I don't really pray and read the Bible. Then I would tell you that you're not going to feel close to God. You're not going to grow spiritually much, if at all. Better chances that you'll actually kind of take steps backwards. And you may hear that and think, that's kind of harsh. No, it's not. It's not harsh at all. If I told you, listen, if you take this class and you don't attend class and you don't read the textbook and you don't study, you're not going to get an A. You wouldn't go, that's harsh. You'd be like, of course, duh. You'd be like, of course, right? Of course I'm not going to get an A. How could I? And so when I tell you, listen, if you don't get in the regular practice of praying and reading the Bible and serving and these kind of things, you're not going to grow spiritually. You're not going to be closer to God. You're always going to feel like, I just don't quite have that spiritual life. I don't have that vitality. I don't have that relationship with God. Of course you're not. Your answer should be, of course I won't. How could I? If I don't read the Bible and pray, how could I? It's just part of getting where I need to go. It's part of having God's power go to work in my life so I can start growing and becoming the person that I want to become and have the kind of relationship with God that I want. It's doing those things over and over and over and over and over. And by the way, this is kind of a cool thing. Doing those right things over and over and over and over repeatedly do not lead us to a life of like monotony and boredom. Surprisingly, it leads you to like joy and a sense of adventure. That might sound counterintuitive, but it is totally true. And if you practice it, you will experience it. And here's the coolest thing. The coolest thing is just like the movie. So in this movie, the reason Bill Gage connects with Rita Vertowski every morning is because he realizes my only real chance in this battle is if she's with me. But like together, we can do way more than I can do by myself. So I have to go connect with her in the morning, bring her into my day, and bring her into my battle. But what happens is as he spends day after day with her, he starts to go, oh, as I get to know her, I realize I'm falling in love with her. And what will happen with you and God is this. You may start out by going, I need God because I need this higher power's power in my life to help me achieve what I want, to overcome my obstacles and everything. But what happens is as you begin to connect with him, like early in your day, every day, and do your day with him, do life with him, bring him into your battles, you're going to start to know who he is. And you're going to find that day by day, you're falling in love with him. You will. And I don't know about you, that's what I want for my life. And my guess is some of you, that's what you want. That's why you're probably here today. Also, a little quick commercial. This is what we teach in our course called Verge. We have this course 6 weeks long called Verge. It starts this Wednesday night, coincidentally, and it's fun. It's an hour and a half, six Wednesday night in a row. I teach it. You get to hang out with me. Woo! But what we teach is, how do you do this? Like, how do you start a relationship with God, and how do you grow in it day after day? How do you get where you want to go? It's all we talk about in this class. You can register for that. So your last chance is today. Today at the Velcro Bar or online, and it's this Wednesday right in this room. We're going to have a good time. And listen, this is the key factor most people are missing. It's the key factor why people aren't getting where they want to go in their career, in their marriages, with God, whatever it is. It's because they keep trying harder. And it's not about trying. It's about training. And so if you do this, if you grab onto this principle, start to apply it to your life, the sky will be the limit for you. There'll be no limit for you. Seriously, the relationship that you can have with God and what will happen, what can happen with your job, your finances, your marriage, your parenting, whatever, the sky's the limit for you. But there's another huge factor involved in all this, okay? Another huge factor that you need as part of this equation to get you where you want to go, and that's what we're going to talk about next week as we look at the movie Lone Survivor. We got two war kind of movies back to back. Sorry if you don't like war movies. I'm gonna pray. Just be here next week for Lone Survivor, because you need this other factor. And when you get here next week and you hear about it, you'll be like, oh, I see how that all works together. So I'm gonna pray for you guys, but here's what we're gonna do. After I pray, we're gonna give you a few minutes to think about all this, okay? We do this every week where, just before we run out and go do whatever we're gonna do, let's just take a couple minutes to think, okay, what am I gonna do with this? Like, what area of my life do I need to grow in? What's a thing or two I can do today that I could do today that'll get me tomorrow where I need to go? And so we're just gonna give you a couple minutes to think about this. Pray about this if you're someone who prays and believes in God. During this time, we also make communion available. Communion is on the three tables around the room, and communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And that may sound, if you're new to this, weird, maybe even a little bit grotesque. It's like, oh, it represents body and blood. But there's something really beautiful about it, because the reason that God gives us communion is that it's to be a tangible reminder of his love for us, and that God wanted to have a relationship with us. And according to the Bible, the only way that was possible was for Jesus to go to the cross. And so the bread and juice represent the body and blood. And it's just this way for us to remember and to thank Jesus for what he did in opening up a relationship with God, where we can have his power at work in our lives and we can get where we need to go. So if you'd like to take communion, you can go get it. If you'd rather not, totally fine. Just hang out where you're at and think about, what do I need to do in my life to apply what I heard today? Okay? And then we're just about done. So band's going to play a song during this time, and we'll have it. So God, thank you so much for loving us. And I have to believe that if we're all honest, we all have something in our lives that isn't what we want it to be, whatever that is. And my hope, my prayer, is that today is a day of freedom. Because probably a lot of us are very frustrated, because what we've been doing is we've been trying. And we've tried 1,000 times to get better, to move forward, to fix it, and it's never worked. And so maybe today, understanding that it's not about trying harder, it's about training. That it's not about putting my best effort into it. That will never work. What I need to do today is just what I can do today. I need to figure out, what are those strategic things that I can do today that will help me take a step forward and get me closer to my goal? It's not going to happen overnight. That can be frustrating, but I will get there if I just keep doing the right things day after day. So God, would you help us to see the areas in our lives that we need to grow, and what are those strategic things we need to do every day to get us to take steps in the right direction. God, I pray that you would help us to see that. And I thank you for Jesus and his offer to us and his dying for us and you wanting to help us in our lives. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.